Leviticus chapter 1, we're going to cover about 5 chapters. That's unusual, right? Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus is, of course, in the Old Testament, in the beginning. Is there any reason why everybody's spreading out? You guys don't like each other? Is that what it is? Did you notice when you get into the airplane, everybody wants to sit in the front? When you get in the bus, everybody sit in the front. When you come to the church, everybody sit back. There, you're like a Connie. Oh, what an excuse. Okay. Whatever. Are you recording? Okay. Book of Leviticus. Some people think it's some sort of sleeping pill. Book of Numbers and Leviticus is like what a boring book. Why did God put that in there? And when I said one time, a friend of mine, I'm going to teach Book of Leviticus, and he looked at me like, are you out of your mind? Why in the world do you want to teach? There's many other good books out of 66 books you can teach from. He was right, I was right. It's a boring book, but I did not understand the depth of the book of Leviticus. Let me make it very clear to you. It's a picture book of Jesus Christ, especially the first 5 chapters. We think, we often judge it, the content with the outward appearance. We do that with the people, we do that with the gift. If it's wrapped in a nice package, somehow we think it's a valuable thing. But it's not. Not necessarily. Leviticus means it's the rules and regulation for priests. If you remember, in New Testament, we are chosen generation, royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. That means we are the priest for Jesus Christ. So we should know the rules and regulation about the how to sacrifice. Does it mean we are going to have animal sacrifice here on the altar? No, absolutely not. We no longer live on the law, but we live on the grace, according to Romans. However, we need to understand, we need to understand about the book of Leviticus. And you might ask, why all bloody sacrifice we are going to study? If we try to ignore that bloody sacrifice, guess what we have to ignore? Jesus. Exactly. Crucifixion. Somehow we think the crucifixion was a clean cut because we watched it on TV. Well, just a little bit tickle of the trickle of the blood coming down from his head. And a little bit of from his mouth. And a little bit of from his hand. That's about it. If you remember what it says in Isaiah, he didn't look like a human. In another word, he looked like a raw hamburger. 40 lashes minus one, with a cat of nine tail. Tore his back, and he got beat up. And crown of thorn is shoved down on his head. That's anything but pretty. If that man is standing here, we will turn our face because it's gory. Think about it. I don't know how many of you guys actually watched the butchering scene. I did. I came from South Korea where they pretty much show the whole thing, whole process, killing pig, killing chicken, all of that. You guys had a dinner, right? Good. You know, they tend to show all of that, and it's not pretty sin. Blood spills all over. That's what the priest did day in, day out. What's the purpose of that? We must go back to the origin of sacrifice, atoning sacrifice. Before we go there, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up our study tonight. Let your spirit be upon me and upon our brothers and sisters to receive your word to see why atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ was necessary and why this seemed like a boring book, Leviticus, is so important to understand the portrait of Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The origin of the offering, origin of atoning sacrifice, started at the Garden of Eden, not Gethsemane. I almost said Gethsemane. Why? It was a perfect world, literally perfect world. God walked with a man in the cool of the evening, and there was no crime, there was no rush hour, there was no computers. Can you imagine that? And nothing but the perfect situation. However, that perfect scene abruptly stopped with a man's sin. When man sinned against God, disobedience because of their own pride, because they think they can be like God himself, all of a sudden the whole scenery got changed. When God found out, as if he didn't know, when he confronted the man about his sin, man realized he's naked, and man realized he is in sin. Because God loved him so much, he had to do something about it. Same time, he is a holy and righteous God. A lot of people say nowadays, our loving God will not send me to hell. That is absolutely true. However, our choice will send us to hell if we choose not to follow him. Because he is loving and same time and righteous God, he had to do something because he will not lower his standard to our level. To do that, he had to punish the people, but same time, he didn't want to kill man. According to Leviticus, before we go to the Leviticus, we have must remember Romans 6:23. What is it? For the wage of sin is death, and the gift of life, gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Remember, the wage of the sin is eternal death. However, Leviticus 17:11 says, I'll just read it to mark it somewhere. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul, for it is its blood that makes the atonement for the soul. In other words, the physical body becomes atonement to save the spirit. What does it mean? In this body, your body, my body, same has one same thing, different type of blood. But we all have a blood. As soon as blood gets drained out, what happens? Our body ceases to move. Life literally gets drained out. Because man is naked, and he realizes he's naked, he had to be covered. So instead of killing him, God chose to kill animal, drain the blood, peel the skin, cover the man with the animal skin. That's the first design of clothes by God. Now, most important thing about that is the innocent animal had to die. The word is atonement, in placement. For what? For what? To reconcile with the God. Because his nakedness, nakedness is a sin. His nakedness is covered with an animal's sin, which is blood, his animal's life. God does not see the man's nakedness, which is sin, and he sees, that means man's sin is being reconciled with God. You follow me so far? It's a very important concept. If you don't understand that, rest of tonight's teaching doesn't mean a thing. In other words, merciful God killed animal, innocent animal, to cover the man's sin. First thing we find in chapter 1 of the first Leviticus is burnt offering. From chapter 1 through 5, we find five different offerings of the God. Starting with chapter 1 is burnt offering, second chapter, grain offering, third chapter, fellowship offering, all called peace offering, fourth chapter, sin offering, fifth chapter, guilt offering. Sin offering and guilt offering are mandatory. Remember that, please. Guilt offering and sin offering that we find in chapter 4 and chapter 5 are mandatory. Chapter 1 through 3 we find in burnt offering, grain offering, fellowship offering, which calls peace offering, they are voluntary worship offering. It is important for us to tell the difference. Mandatory offering and the voluntary offering. Excuse me. So, last three, voluntary offering is act of worship. Let's start with the burnt offering in chapter 1. It is atonement for unintentional sin in general and expression of devotion. Now, what's the burnt offering? What's the concept of that? I mentioned that all the offerings, all the sacrifice pointing to where? Jesus. To the cross. Hold on. Leviticus is in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of the meeting, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you bring an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice and of the herd, and let him offer a male without blemish, on the line without blemish, he shall offer it of his own free will, on the line free will, at the door of the tabernacle, meeting before the Lord." The word is, burnt offering speaks in volume, in my opinion. That means when we will find that it completely consumes. Nothing will be left behind. It burns everything. Complete consumption. What's that got to do with Jesus? Jesus was completely obedient. He did everything what he was told by the Father in heaven. Complete obedience. That's the picture of Jesus Christ that we see in the burnt offering. I asked you to underline a couple of things. Without blemish. And another one is a free will. Without blemish. Let's go back. He who knew no sin became a sinner for us. Who is he? Jesus. In other words, he is the only one in humankind who did not have a sin. So he is the one without blemish became a sinner for us. Just hold on your head on that thing. And also, I ask you to underline free will. That means he did choose to become sacrifice. And if I'm the worshiper of the Old Testament, I brought that bull or lamb or dove, pigeon, whatever, depends on my financial situation. I brought that sacrifice willingly, not by being dragged by the priest. Free will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he chose to follow. Even though he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He willingly following God's will. That's a free will. So we find it is an important aspect. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Let's quickly go there. 2 Samuel chapter 24. This is a very important aspect of sacrifice. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Verse 24. David did a few boo-boos, and we all know about him and Bathsheba, but there's several one of the few big boobies is he could, how many people he had, censors. When he did the censors, God was upset with him because his pride was getting into it. When David realized his pride got into it, he sinned against God, he asked God to forgive him. And the consequences was 7,000 people got killed. And of course, David came to God and asking his forgiveness, and God told him to build the altar in such a place and do a sacrifice. This particular place belongs to somebody named Arunach, I guess. Then the king said to the Arunach, verse 24, "No, but I will surely buy from you for a price." This is a good thing. Look at this. "No, will I offer burnt offering to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing." Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, please. Sacrifice is not a sacrifice unless it hurt me, unless it affects me. Let me rephrase that again. If I am a Bill Gates with a $40 billion asset in my pocket, if I give somebody $100, would that hurt me? Would I lose my sleep over that $100? But if I give $100 to somebody with a current financial situation, it would hurt me. If I give somebody $100 out of my pocket, that becomes sacrifice. But to Bill Gates, it's not a sacrifice. Just probably he spent more than in 1 minute. Sacrifice does not affect your financial situation. That's not a sacrifice. That's why tithe and offering is become sacrifice. Let's say, again, probably you guys understand. This much you need to make a living and you take the 10% out, that means you need that much difference by God. God had to provide. That's the sacrifice. You have this much, you only need this much to make a living. The rest of them, you give something from this portion. That's not sacrifice. Sacrifice costs something. Literally, word is sacrificing something for somebody. It costs us something. That's what this person is saying. Out of flock, out of the herd, a bull, male bull, versus 5 cows, that's a ratio they usually kept. If to take what person, the rancher, take the one bull out, that means there's 5 cows laying around doing nothing. They cannot have the babies, baby calves anymore. Killing that bull costs something to that man. By doing so, God will bless that person because simply simple obedience. We tend to have, when we have a drive for the let's help some people in Mexico or some poor people. Bring your clothes. Bring the food. Guess what we get? Beans. Nobody orders macaroni salad that's been sitting in the pantry for 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, sacrifice to God should not be spiritual pantry cleaning. Okay? It should cost something to us. Not cleaning. And let's make this very clear to each other. When we have a drive for somebody to help somebody, let's not bring some jacket with a hole on the side and you want to dump it in, you are going to dump it in the garbage can. It's better than nothing for them, you bring them. No. If I'm going to give somebody, let's give them that something I would wear or you would wear. That's a sacrifice. I guarantee you, God will bless you for it. All right. First picture we find in the burnt offering is complete obedience, complete consumption of Jesus Christ. That's what we see in burnt offering. Second chapter, grain offering. We are not going to read them all. It is recognition of God's goodness. for the provision and devotion to God. What's the big deal about this? Grain offering. To make a grain, what do? You have to work at it. You have to bring the produce from the ground, which is nothing. You plant the seed. You have to give them water. I used to be the guy with a black thumb. I didn't have to do anything to kill the plant. Just look at it, they die. Now I'm using Miracle Grow. Just dump the whole box full of Miracle Grow into the ground. Guess what? It comes up. Just water every day, and it comes up. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I just water it and put the Miracle Grow. It's still alive. Grain offering takes time to bring forth the ephod, which is fine flour. It means our service. Jesus, while he was on the earth, he worked for the people. He did a service to the people, healed people. Anything he did was a fine offering to the Father in heaven. Whenever they offered a grain offering, there was a couple of things they should not put it in. There's a couple of things they must put it in. A couple of things they should not put them in is, number one is yeast. Number two is honey. You guys already know what I'm going to talk about. Yeast. What was representing in the Bible? Sin. Thank you. Yeast. Leaven. That's why when we take a communion, it's a flat. It's unleavened bread. Bread without yeast. Flat as pancake. However, what about the honey? In the Bible, and the Jewish custom says, honey is representing strength and self-righteousness. In other words, God does not want in our offering our self-righteousness, and he doesn't want sin in the offering. However, you will find that in verse Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11, you find that don't put the honey and don't put yeast. Verse 13, you will find two things we are supposed to put in. Oil and salt. What do we think when the Bible says oil? Holy Spirit, thank you. In other words, it should be anointed and it should be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by what? Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And we are not supposed to be blended into the world, but we are salt and light of the world. So we should be different. Salt not only has a flavor, has what? Preservatives capability. So we should be different. It preserve and bring flavor. Are you following me so far? Or you're in La La Land and you don't care? Okay. Just stay with me. And you will notice there's a frankincense. Bring good flavor. Good smell. When they burn this grain offering, it becomes a sweet, sweet aroma to God. Third offering, which we find in third chapter of Leviticus, fellowship offering and peace offering. All right, so first one we find, a burnt offering was complete consumption, complete obedience of Jesus Christ. Second one is Jesus' service to Father in heaven. Third one, fellowship offering and peace offering, is a thanksgiving and a fellowship with God. By using any animal without blemish, it doesn't have to be male or female, any animal, this is only one offering include a communion meal. In other words, they bring this animal, let's say I brought now lamb, after kill that animal, do the sacrifice, there's leftover, guess what I get to do? I take it home and so we can have a meal out of that, lamb chop out of that. Any of you guys like lamb chop? You like it? I never tried it. Is it bad? Yeah. Anyway, since it includes a meal, let's go back to the Israeli custom, Israeli concept. They do not have a meal together unless they become friends, unless they have a fellowship, unless they have relationship with one another. This becomes representing we having a relationship with God, having a fellowship with God. Jesus become bridge, building the bridge between God and sinful men. So because He's the peace, broken down all the walls, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And He is the Prince of Peace, according to Isaiah 9, 6. And He is the one who gives us peace that passes all men's understanding, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. So He is the one who gives us peace between God and human. So it is important for us to understand. So far, I'm repeating the same thing over and trying to put it in your heart. Complete obedience, burnt offering. That's a portrait of Jesus Christ. Grain offering, service of Jesus Christ. And peace offering, all known as fellowship offering, Jesus Christ making a bridge between man and God. Fourth chapter, we find sin offering. Alright, now we become nitty-gritty things that we have to bring out our sins. This sin offering is a mandatory offering that we, as I said, is a specific, particular unintentional sin to be cleansed by His forgiveness. In His perfect nature, Jesus, who, as I said before, He knew no sin and became a sinner for us. He is the replacement. And He is the spotless Lamb of God. Guilt offering. Another mandatory offering, atonement for the unintentional sin required restitution. This is very important, restitution. Guilt offering requires restitution. And cleanse from defilement. Why any other human being could not be in place of Jesus? Huh? Sin. You mean Gandhi could not do? As I told you before, Gandhi is the goodest man in hell. Our goodness would not do anything to God. There's one requirement, had to be paid. There's a contract, Israeli custom, I know it can be a little lengthy explanation, but it is worthwhile. When a man sells the land to for him to buy it back or for his relative to buy it back, there's a three requirements. The person has to be relative. That person has to have a willingness. That person has to have money to buy the land back. When man failed, man got into the sin, literally he signed over deed of this earth to who? Satan. So he is the owner of the earth. You following me so far? Yes? No? Whatever? So the owner of the earth is Satan. He has a deed in his pocket. But somebody wants it back. And three requirements. Number one, relative. Number two, willingness. Number three, price. Money. Jesus took the human form. Became relative. Jesus willingly came. So he means he fulfilled the second qualification. And price. No man could pay that price because we all have a sin. Sinless man, same time, sin, Of course, holy God took that price, paid the price. So, on someday, He is going to claim the earth. Second coming. He, Jesus Christ, paid our guilt offering, ultimate guilt offering on the Calvary with His own atoning sacrifice, so that we become co-heir with Jesus Christ. Alright, so far we have all this fancy idea about the different offerings. Alright, what about it? Sometimes they could offer one offering and stop there. But how many times do we find a man without sin? None. So they have to have sin offering or guilt offering. Do we stop there? No, they cannot stop there. They have to do more. Why? Because when we sin against God, all of a sudden the relationship between God and us stops. Why? Because He's a holy, righteous God, we are sinful men. Because our sin. God is willing, but we're breaking down that bridge with our sin. So, what God does, says, if you're going to do the multiple offering, you have to do in certain sequence. First thing we have to do is sin offering or guilt offering. Depends on the situation. First, guilt offering or sin offering must be presented, asking God to forgive our sins. Second thing we must do is burnt offering. Why? We have to let Him know that we are completely obedient to Him. Complete consumption. Third thing that follow is, guess what? Fellowship offering or peace offering. Making that relationship back again. You following me so far? Alright. So, Jesus did. He came, became atoning sacrifice for us, and then he, with the burnt offering, He reestablished the, showed the complete obedience. And when He, on the cross, what did He say? It is finished. Everything is done. By doing so, He built relationship between man and God. Fellowship is rebuilt again. So when Jesus said it is finished, and He died, the resurrection done by Father is His resounding amen to Him. So we have our sins, we know that our sins are forgiven, and we are His. Our fellowship with Christ and God is mended. I wouldn't come up with the application because this is not some sort of things that we will come up with the application. So, but there's a conclusion. The word atonement, Hebrew, is kafar, K-A-P-H-A-R, kafar. However, this kafar has get to be changed as, you know, the word, there's a particular word get changed throughout the time. Before, when somebody says, it's cool, that means temperature cool. Now, when we say it's cool, it's a real nice thing. And when we used to say it's bad, means not good. Now, when I say it's bad, that means I'm good. So the definition become upset and a different flip-flop. Same thing. As time go by, the atonement, kafar, used to be in Old Testament, was to cover. What's the deal about to cover? Let's go back to original sacrifice. What did God do to the man? Cover their nakedness. Follow? However, in the Old and New Testament, all of a sudden, the definition of kafar is changed to put away. It's no longer covering, completely done. It's gone. So our sins not only covered, no, it's not covered, it's gone. atonement is no longer covering. Old Testament atonement was a sin, just covering with the blood of an animal. I was covering our sin. However, blood of Jesus Christ, which is ultimate sacrifice, ultimate atonement, is put away our sin and wipe away all our slate clean. Do you think God has a reason to put the Leviticus in there? Yes. However, we cannot study Leviticus without Hebrews 9, chapter 9 and chapter 10. You must read chapter 9 and chapter 10 of Hebrews to completely understand sacrifice of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. According to Hebrews chapter 9, verse and chapter 10, blood of an animal on those who are ceremonially cleansed and sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. But everything has to be, according to Old Testament, everything has to be cleansed by the blood. Remember last study? When Nehemiah found that the Tobiah was inside the temple, took one of the tenth house, what did he do? He threw all the household items out. What did he do? Come on, talk back to me. Threw him out, and what did he do to that room? Cleansed. With what? Lysol? Spicking and span? Whatever that thing is. Spray that thing? Blood. Literally, he sprinkled the blood on the wall. That's the idea of cleansing. And you and I would say, ooh! No, spiritual, that is the right thing to do. Somehow we think this temple sacrifice is a pretty thing. No, it is not. Remember upper room discourse where they had a last meal with Jesus Christ? I know some of you guys, how long is he going to talk? Come on, Leviticus, I'm going to go on to another couple hours. So forget it. Don't look at your watch. When he had the last meal, they were heading to where? Garden of Gethsemane. While they were heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, they had to pass through Hebron Brook. What's the Hebron Brook? That's the little brook coming down straight from the temple. By that time, all the sacrifices happening, and all the blood of the animals is coming down in the middle of the stream. Have you ever smelled the blood? A lot of blood? Stink. I bet that brook is just pure red because of blood. They had to cross that bridge or the stepping stone, whatever they had. Wonder what kind of thing Jesus was thinking of. My blood will come down. Not necessarily. That's symbolizing. My atoning sacrifice will come down for these people. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. For where there is a testament, there must also of the necessity of be the death of testator. The testament is in the force after men are dead, since there it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when the Moses and had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats and with the water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and to sprinkle both the book itself and all the people, and saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has given you." So people came, standing like this, and all of a sudden he's dipped the hyssop in the bowl of blood and start to sprinkle. How's that for the ceremony? Verse 21. Then likewise he sprinkled the blood on both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministries. And according to the law, almost all things purified with the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heaven should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than this. What's the better sacrifice? Jesus Christ. For the Christ has not entered the holy place made with the hand, which was a copy of the truth, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of age, he has appeared to the put away the sin by the sacrifice himself. And as it is appointed for man to die once, you might on the line memorize this verse, put it in your heart. So anyone who come up with a word reincarnation, remind them, it's appointed for man to die once, not 100,000 times. After this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him, who will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish for us, his perfect sacrifice, atonement. The purpose of offering is not to make people bring the animal sacrifice. It's more than that. It's but to renew the fellowship between God and man. Who did that? Jesus. Old Testament offerings, all these five offerings, pointing finger to where? To Christ and his sacrifice. I'm done.